So this sermon this morning is not going to be any better, I don't think, because we're going to talk about some realities. In 2014, there was a religious landscape study put out by the Pew Research Group. And in that research group, that study, they said that 72% of Americans believe in heaven. That's a great number, isn't it? More than half, less than 100%. But only 58% of Americans believe that there's a hell. Now, how can that be? How can you believe there is a heaven but not a hell, when the Bible clearly tells us that both exist? Jesus said that both heaven and hell are real. In Matthew 24, or 25, verse 46, the English Standard Version says, "And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So both exist. The Son of God has told us that they both exist. He also tells us in Matthew 10 and verse 28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. And we don't love our neighbor by remaining silent about the reality of hell. In Matthew 23 and verse 33, Jesus says, "You snakes, brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" We've got to preach that hell is real. He said, or Paul says in Galatians 4 and verse 16, "Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Some of you may not like this lesson. Some of you watching on live stream may not like this lesson. But there are some realities about hell that we need to come to an understanding of. The first thing that we're going to point out is Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is the New Living Translation. And here, this is in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the third part of it. He says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few find it." So what I learned from what Jesus says there is that hell is a place of choice. Did you catch that? People choose to go to hell or not. Jesus said in Matthew 7 there that it is a choice that we make which path in life we're going to choose. We choose to go to hell when we choose to sin. Simply put, because sin is lawlessness and it's living outside of the law of God's word. Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin, the payment for sin, is death. In the book of Revelation, it talks about hell being a lake prepared for the devil and his angels, and that's the eternal separation from God, the second death. It's a choice. Now, if I went around a room and I asked everybody, who here has chosen to spend eternity in hell? No one would raise their hand, would they? But yet we need to learn and understand that the way we live our lives, some of us have already made our choice. Sin tells us, or the Bible tells us, that sin brings death. Paul says in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life." You know, I've had Bible discussions with people. And they ask me, "Well, where do you go to church?" I don't like answering this way, but the answer that they understand best of all is I go to the Church of Christ. And the reason they understand that is because they go to the Baptist church, or they go to the Methodist church, or they go to the Presbyterian, and on down the line. But I don't go to the Church of Christ. I assemble with the saints at Eastside. But when they say, "Oh, you're one of them Church of Christers. Y'all think y'all the only ones going to heaven, don't you?" My response to that is, no, because I'm afraid there's several of those Church of Christers that ain't going to make it. Because even though they choose to be in the assembly, their life outside of the assembly of the saints points in a different direction. They come to the assembly, but they don't live their life as a Christian 7 days a week, just 4 hours a day, a week. They want the elders to stay off their back, and they go the bare minimum sometimes. But what we need to understand is that sin brings death. Now, as we pointed out, everybody's going to die. But this death that we're talking about is the second death, eternally being separated from God. Our accountability assures that we're going to reap eternal death when we sow disobedience and unbelief. So you can sit here this morning and say, oh, I'm going to heaven. But you leave these doors and you live an ungodly life, or you forsake the assembly like we talked about in Bible class, and you think, well, I still got my ticket punched. I may beg to differ on that. Because if you're not serving God 100%, you may have yourself fooled. When we tend to ignore the long-term realities of our choice by thinking, if I just go get my ticket punched on Sunday morning, or maybe Wednesday night, or maybe Sunday night, or maybe just once every week, or once every month, or whatever, enough to keep the elders and the preacher off my back, then I'm okay. Well, when you take that approach, you're just looking at the here and the now. You're not looking at answering Christ in the judgment. You're not looking at the long term. It's like the retirement people say, you can't watch the market now and expect to make money in the future on your returns. We think, too, that God is too loving to send anybody to hell. We think that He's going to compromise His Word, that we aren't really that bad, and that we'll go to heaven just because that's what we want to do. I have a sad, aching feeling in my heart that several of us will wake up like the rich man and the rich man in Lazarus, in torment. And the reality is this. When we think about hell being a choice, the reality is this. If you haven't believed and obeyed the gospel of Christ, then you've already made a choice. Your choice is hell. I know that's blunt, that's not very tactful, but that's biblical teaching. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ when you know that you need to, or maybe you have obeyed the gospel of Christ but you still live a worldly life, you have chosen hell. That's the reality of it. But you know what the bright side is? You can change your choice today. Another reality about hell is that it's a place of truth. Hell is going to expose the truth about those who go there. Again, I may hurt some of you's feelings, but it bothers me when you see people say, oh, and I've got family that do this, oh, I want to wish my mama a happy birthday in heaven. How do you know? Oh, well, I know my mama. But you don't know their heart. And besides, if you've already put them in heaven, then you've assumed the job of Jesus, who is the judge. When I preach a funeral, I tell the people, I cannot say that this individual laying before us here is already in heaven, because I'm not assuming to take Jesus' job. And how many of these denominational funerals do you go to and they say, oh, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, we know that they're in heaven right now. This is just a shell. Well, true, that is just a shell. But if you claim that that person's in heaven, have you not taken the place of Jesus as judge? I don't want to do that. In Matthew 25, the New American Standard Bible says in verse 41, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. God has a place prepared for those who are disobedient. Now, it could be that you're disobedient, as we said, and not putting Christ on in baptism, or maybe you've fallen away and are living a disobedient life. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Who is Paul talking about? You ever thought about that? Who is Paul talking about that God's going to take vengeance on them with flaming fire? Well, it says those who do not know God. Somebody says, "Well, I've been a Christian. I'm 70 years old. I've been a Christian since I was 10 years old." Well, that's 60 years of being a Christian. But what do you know about God's Word? How faithful are you in obeying God's Word? If I'm a part-time Christian that attends Eastside Church of Christ, I'm going to tell you bluntly, you're no better than a Plan B Baptist who only goes on Christmas and Easter. You know what? You're no better than a worldly person that thinks you're saved if you only go part of the time to worship God. To serve God takes 100% of your effort. Now, we can make excuses all day long about why I need to miss, why I can't be there. And really, it's not up to me whether that excuse flies or not. It's not really up to the elders. It's going to be up to Christ, because it's going to be His judgment that you will either enter heaven or hell. These shall be punished. But notice He says in verse 8, "And on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." We look at that and we say, "Oh, well, they never became a Christian." Well, you can become a Christian and not obey the gospel. Just simply not doing what Jesus says is disobedience. We deceive ourselves and wear the mask of a Christian, but we cannot hide what's in our hearts. And all this will be stripped away when judgment arrives. We'll either be rewarded with heaven or rewarded with hell. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, "For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." We've got to see ourselves as God sees us and not how we want to perceive the world to see us. I don't want the world to look at me and say, "Oh, well, you're that preacher out at Eastside." I don't want the world to look at me that way. I want the world to look at me as hopefully God does, as being a God-fearing man that is obedient to His Word and His will. Now, how do you want the world to see you? Do you want the world to see you as a Plan B Christian? That you only go when you feel like it? That you only go, you know, and that's another thing. Somebody said, "Oh, well, I had a headache." Are you the only one that's ever had a headache and didn't go to services? I guarantee you that there's going to be somebody that sits here today or didn't show up today because they didn't feel good. And if I could turn the camera around, I'd pan it around the auditorium and I could pick out three or four people that are here today that really don't feel like being here. And all I can say is, if I say that a headache prevents me from being here, shame on you. Shame on you. But I've got to look at myself, not as I see myself or as I want the world to see me, but I've got to look at myself as hopefully God sees me. And if I don't like what I see in the mirror, then I need to make some changes. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 4 and verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. And the New Testament is filled with passages that give us the same exhortation. Hell is a place of truth. It's going to expose the truth of those who really go there, and hell will expose the truth about sin and disobedience. Some of us are going to open our eyes one day in torment, and we're going to look around and go, hey, I didn't expect you to be here. I thought you'd be on the other side of the gulf. But it's our hearts. What does our heart tell us? It's going to expose the truth about who God and Christ really are. And sadly, it's going to expose the truth about ourselves. Again, we go back to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. And in verse 20, there are going to be plenty that come to Jesus, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, look at all the things that I've done in your name, when you didn't have authority for doing that. And he's going to respond, depart from me, I never knew you. How sad is it going to be when you get to the judgment and you've lived your life the way you think it ought to be lived in God's eyes, and you get up and I got it made. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to hear him say, open the pearly gates and let this one in. And he's going to say, depart from me. I don't know who you are. But Lord, I've done all these things. I attended when I wanted to. I sang when I wanted to. I prayed when I wanted to. But I'm looking at myself the way I want to see it. And I've got to look at myself the way God wants us to be. Hell is a place of choice. It's a place of truth. And it's a place of fair treatment. That sounds kind of not logical, doesn't it? Hell is the outcome of God's fair and impartial judgment against sin. We read our Bibles, and His Word tells us that there's coming a judgment, that we need to live our lives today in accordance with what He says. In Romans 2 and verse 2, the judgment of God falls upon those who practice such things as sin. And you can name any sin, and then we can water it down and say, well, it's not really not that bad. Sin is a sin. You know, when I worked at Cook's, people would call me and ask me about snakes. And they'd say, somebody would say, when I look at their eyes, and I said, I ain't looking at their eyes. I said, to me, a snake is a snake is a snake. But you know, God says, sin is a sin is a sin. And yet we want to say, well, now that one's not as bad as this one. You can tell a little white lie and not be in hell. But John writes in the book of Revelation that all lies. And he doesn't color code them so that you can say, well, I've not told that one, but I've told this one. And this one will get me into heaven. No. All lies. We read in Romans chapter 5, or Romans chapter 2 again, in beginning in verse 5, but in accordance with your hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patience, continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Now let's stop right there and look at verse 9. On every soul of man who does evil. And you think, well, I just don't assemble all the time. That's not evil, but it's disobedience, isn't it? It's still a sin. Well, I just tell a little white lie every now and then. It's still disobedience. Still a sin. And anything that is a sin is evil according to the inspired writer here. So evil will get you in hell. And notice he says it's also for the Jew and the Greek. He's not showing any partiality. God is fair and just. Anybody that does evil, that does disobedience, is going to spend eternity in hell. Verse 11, for there is no partiality with God. Truth, righteous, according to works with no respect of persons. That's what we see here. And when God sends us to hell, it's not because he's vindictive. It's just that he's applying justice. Hell is an expression of God's perfect justice. You go all the way back, beginning in Genesis, and God's justice has been perfect. Every time. We might like to say, well, no, it's been kind of cruel. I mean, here's a God that destroyed the whole world, save 8 souls. That's cruel. That's perfect justice, because God is perfect. Everyone in hell, every soul that ends up in hell, will deserve to be there because God said so. They practiced evil and they brought condemnation on their life. And it's going to be according to our works and the Lamb's Book of Life. John writes in Revelation 20 and verse 12, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Jesus is going to have the Bible in one hand and the book of life in the other. And how you have lived your life is going to be based upon what these books say. In verse 15, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Eternal separation from God, the second death. So hell is a place of choice. It's a place of truth. It's a place of fair treatment, but also it's a place of lost hope. There's no second chance. I don't care what denomination you want to listen to that preaches premillennialism, that says Christ is going to come back and reestablish his throne in Jerusalem, reign on earth for 1,000 years, and those that are saved will go on to heaven. Those that are lost are going to get a second chance. Wrong. That is taught nowhere in the pages of God's Word. Nowhere. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 9 verse 27 that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So if I want to believe that there's a second chance, then I'm believing the Bible is false, that it's misinforming people. What we need to understand is that hell is punishment for those who have sinned against God. And that's anything. You know, you might hurt my feelings. You might offend me. I'll get over it eventually. I might hurt your feelings, and you might get over it eventually. But God keeps a record. And the only way for us to get our name off of that record book is to repent and confess and to do that sin no more while we have an opportunity. Otherwise, all hope is lost. Second chances, boy, that really is an appealing doctrine, isn't it? But it's a lie. Now is the day of salvation. It's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Working together, we entreat also that you do not receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I listened to you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to make any changes you need to make in your life. Destruction and hell affirms that it is a place of lost hope. Again, we go back to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. And what it means here is to lose, to be deprived of, to perish, to ruin with punishment, to be banished from God eternally. Utter hopelessness. All hope is lost when he says, "Depart from me." But what we need to understand about this reality is that hell is eternal. Bible teaching of hell warns sinners to repent and be prepared for the judgment. This today is your opportunity. Don't let it pass you by and think, "Well, I've got tomorrow." James said our life is like a vapor, here today and gone. How many of you, I know it's kind of morbid, but how many of you read the obituary column in the paper? You do? When I was younger, I used to think, "Man, them folks are old. They ain't so old anymore. They all seem to be getting younger." And I mean, 60, 70, that used to be old, but it's not. And then you read one every now and then, it's 30, 20, a teenager. And you have to realize that none of us are promised tomorrow. As James said, our life is but a vapor. It's here today and then vanishes away. And it shows, the Bible does, the terribleness of sin. The just punishment of sin, and the sinners must believe and obey the gospel now, not tomorrow. Don't sit here today and say, "I can come back tonight." Don't sit here and say, "Well, I can go home and think about it and come back next Sunday." You don't have that promise. And if you believe that, then you have a false hope. You have to believe right now about the terribleness of sin and just how bad hell is. Hell is real. I hope you believe that. But the question is hell real to you? Do you believe the Bible? If so, then you don't want to go to hell. If you believe in hell, then you want to choose to faithfully obey Jesus. Right now. Right now is the time. Travis picked out a very opportune song. "I have decided to follow Jesus." Because the option of not following Jesus is going to hell. So, are you going to follow Jesus? Jesus.